Well, good evening. I want to welcome you back to our service. And if you would, please open your Bibles now to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to continue our study through the book of Titus. As I mentioned in the previous recording, Lord willing, we're going to be back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, and I'm going to continue on through Titus in Sunday school, and then when I'm finished with Titus, we'll go back and pick up where we left off in the book of Kings and continue our study there. But for the time, we're going to continue our study through the book of Titus, and before we get started, I want us to have a word of prayer, so please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now acknowledging that we need your help as we endeavor into your word. Lord, if you don't teach us, if you don't show us, if you don't open our eyes, then we won't learn anything. And it certainly won't have any effect on our lives. So I pray, God, that you would be our teacher, would be our guide, that you'd enlighten us, instruct us, correct us, reprove us, whatever we need. Help us to see the truth and see it clearly, and make application to our lives. Please give me the words to say now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we're in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and the last time we studied, we left off at verse number 6. I told you when I started this chapter that in chapters 2 and 3, Paul really hones in on the idea of church members maintaining a life of good works. And in the first 6 verses of this chapter, Paul specifically addressed different age groups of people within the church or within the churches there on the island of Crete. He talked to the aged men, the aged women, the young women, and the young men. And he gave specifics about their behavior, about how they were to live their lives. And now we'll pick up in verse number 7. And notice in verse number 7, Paul says to Titus, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Notice there the mention and the reference to good works. Paul says to Titus, you need to show yourself a pattern of good works. And I mentioned back whenever I introduced this study that Paul says a good bit in this small letter about good works. And in this study tonight, I want us to notice 4 things that Paul teaches here in the book of Titus about good works. And the first of these is right here in verse number 7, but I want to say that everything Paul says here in Titus about good works is in reference to people who are already saved. And the reason that's the case is because you don't get saved by doing good works. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you hear that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could get saved by works, and I guarantee you, because I know human nature, we would brag about our part in salvation. So we're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, Paul goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The them being a reference to the good works. So God has ordained that we who are saved, those that have been saved by grace through faith, should walk in good works. So I'm not saved by good works. You can do all the good works you want, but if you trust in those good works instead of Jesus Christ, you will not be saved and you'll die in your sins and go to hell. That's the truth of the Bible. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. In other words, once we get saved, God intends for those of us who are saved to live a life of good works. And one thing you notice here in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7 is that God wants us to be a pattern of good works. He says to Titus, in all things, that is in every area of your life, in all the things that you do, show yourself a pattern of good works. Not a pattern of bad works, but a pattern of good works. So God wants us believers to be a pattern of good works. Now, a pattern is an example. It's a sample of something, you might say. It shows how something is supposed to be. I remember, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I remember when I was growing up. I grew up in the home with my grandmother on my mom's side, and I was very close to my grandmother. But I remember as I was growing up that my grandmother used to do a lot of sewing. And it seems like that's sort of become a lost art these days, but my grandmother used to do a lot of sewing. She would make shirts and dresses and different things of that nature. And one thing I can remember is that she would buy patterns for whatever it was she was wanting to sew, whether it be a shirt or whatever the case. And she would follow those patterns. And those patterns would help her to make whatever it was she was trying to make. As long as she stayed with the pattern, then everything worked out. But that pattern is what showed her what to do. It gave her what she needed in order to make whatever she was trying to make. So a pattern is something that is an example. It shows how things are supposed to be. And God says through the Apostle Paul that those of us who are saved are to be a pattern of good works. That means that we are to show through our lives how Christians are to live. Other people are to look at us, the way we live, and see how God expects an individual to live. Now that means lost people should be able to look at our lives, and even other saved people. For example, if you have somebody that, say, is a new convert, or somebody that hasn't been saved real, real long, it's important that they have around them believers that are a pattern of good works for them. Because when you first get saved, especially at that point in the Christian life, you just don't know a whole lot. You're really naive about a lot of things, and you don't have a deep understanding of the Bible. Now, hopefully all of that changes as you grow, but in the beginning, that's how it is. I remember when I was coming along early on in the Christian life, there was so much about the Christian life that I just simply didn't know. There were things that God expected out of me that I wasn't aware of. And so when you're a young Christian, a young believer especially, you need around you Christians that are living the kind of lives that God expects them to live so that they are a pattern. So that young believers can see what God expects out of them. I say to the older Christians, maybe you're not necessarily old physically, but you've been saved a long time. You need to try always to live a life of good works so you can show to other believers, especially young believers, what God expects out of them. Be a pattern for others. That's what the Lord wants. So first of all, I see here in the book of Titus that the Lord wants us to be a pattern of good works. A second thing I want you to notice is in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. We'll come back to Titus chapter 2 later on and finish up the chapter, but for now I want you to look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. Paul says here, put them, he's telling Titus what to do, put them, put those believers there in these churches, put them in mind. That is, you keep this in their mind. How do you put something in somebody's mind or keep something in somebody's mind? You remind them of it constantly. You tell it to them, and you just continue to tell it to them. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Here, to be ready to every good work. To be ready to every good work. Second thing I notice is that the Lord wants us to be prepared. Prepared to do good works. He wants us to be a pattern of good works, and he wants us to be prepared. And really, if I'm going to be a pattern of good works, if I'm going to live a life of good works, then I've got to be prepared to every good work. And I say prepared because Paul says there in 3:1 to be ready, ready. When you're ready, you're prepared. You've done what you needed to do, and you're ready to go, ready to get after it. You've made the preparation, in other words. Paul says to be ready to every good work. How do I become prepared to every good work? Well, the greatest way is seen in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to hold your place here in Titus 3 and turn back one book to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to notice what Paul says to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And this is a great passage on the inspiration of the Word of God. That Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, not some Scripture, not most Scripture, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. You get your doctrine from the Word of God. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is what the Bible will do for you. Notice verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Throughly furnished unto all good works. That's the idea of preparation, being prepared. The word furnished. You're looking at a room and you say, this room is furnished. That means you've brought in all of the things that need to be in that room, and that room is ready to go. It's a furnished room, a furnished home. And so what will get you ready to every good work is the Word of God. That's what will prepare you. The way you and I learn, first and foremost, what God expects out of us is through the Bible. Whether it be through our own reading of the Bible or somebody teaching us the Bible or us listening to preaching from the Bible, God shows us from His Word. He furnishes us. He gets us ready to every good work. So God wants us to be a pattern. God wants us to be prepared. A third thing I see here about good works is that He wants us to be persistent. To be persistent. Look in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. To affirm is to declare, is to assert, to confirm. And he says, I want you to affirm this constantly, all the time. That goes back to what I said about verse 1 where he says, put them in mind. You just keep it in front of them. You keep it in front of them. You never let them lose sight of it because you're constantly affirming and reaffirming, affirming and reaffirming. You're giving it to them again and again. And this is something that God wants a preacher, according to Titus 3:8, to constantly remind the people of God about. I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God, that's you believers, that they which have believed in God, have you believed in God? And I don't mean just having a mental assent where you say, I believe there's a God. The devil does that. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I'm not just talking about an assent that there is a God. And that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about true believers that have trusted in the Lord for their salvation. That's what he's talking about. I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful, notice, to maintain good works. Maintain good works. He says, these things are good and profitable unto men. He says, Titus, I want you to constantly affirm to the believers that they are to maintain good works. To maintain means that you keep it going. You keep something up and you keep it running. You don't let it break down, in other words. Or if it does break down, you get it right back up. You fix it and you get right on back working and moving and doing what you got to do. Maintain. Look on down in this same chapter at verse number 14. He says in verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So the Lord wants us to be a pattern. He wants us to be prepared. Thirdly, he wants us to be persistent, to stay with it, to maintain a life of good works. He doesn't want us to be up and down, in and out, doing good works for a while and then taking a break on God and dropping out, living for the world. You see that kind of stuff a lot. You really do. You see people who are Christians that there's just no stability. There's no consistency in their lives. And listen, I know we all fall short. We all mess up. And with some of us, there's been a season in our lives when we got out of church. That happens. We got out of fellowship with the Lord. But then later on we got back in and hopefully are still in. But what God wants is a consistency in our Christian walk. He wants us to maintain these good works. He doesn't want us to be as unstable as water like Reuben. People you can't depend on. Folks that are in church for a while and then you drop out and you don't see them for a year, 2 years, and then they wander back in. They're in for a little while and then they're back out. You see them and they're going to church, they're serving the Lord and they're all about God, and then the next thing you know they're out and you don't see them for a few years and then they wander back in, and then that's kind of how they live their whole life. That's not what God wants. He wants persistence. He wants us to maintain a life of good works. And yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to mess up. But again, that's part of the definition of maintain. When you maintain something, it doesn't mean that it never breaks down. It just means that when it does break down, something happens, you get it back up and going. You don't just let it stay down forever or for a long period of time. When it breaks down, you immediately get on that, you fix it, and you get back going. That's how you maintain something. We use the word maintenance. There has to be maintenance. Anything that's mechanical, anything that's moving and working, eventually you have problems, and then you have to work on it, but you keep it going or you get it back up and running. And in your Christian life, you're going to mess up. There's going to be times every day of your life where you mess up. But you don't just drop out. You don't quit. If there's a breakdown, you get on it right away. You maintain it. You fix it. You do the maintenance. You get it back up and running, and you keep on going for God. That's what Paul's talking about. Maintain a life of good works. None of this in a while and out a while, in a while, out a while, unstable, inconsistent, but consistency in your Christian life. And again, it's not perfection, because nobody's perfect and you will fail, but when you mess up, you immediately do the maintenance and you get back up and going, you move on living for God. That's the kind of persistence and consistency that God wants us to have in our lives as Christians. that's the third thing. He wants us to be a pattern. He wants us to be prepared. And he wants us to be persistent, maintaining good works. One other thing I noticed from what Paul says here in the book of Titus is back in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. Notice what he says in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, talking about the Lord, obviously, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, notice, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. A fourth thing that I see is that he wants us to be passionate, about good works. I use the word passionate because he says zealous of good work. And the word zealous means to be passionate. It means to be excited. It means to be fervent. We would say something along the lines of being pumped up or on fire would be a way we would describe zealous. All of those are words that describe zealous. Excited, fervent, pumped up, on fire, passionate. That's how God wants his people to be about good works. Zealous of good works. We are to have a zeal for good works. I don't think there's lacking in most Christians a zeal for the pleasures of this life and the things of this world. Many of us are very passionate about the pleasures of this life. In fact, some are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, the Bible says. More passionate about the things of this world, the pleasures of this life. More passionate about fishing and hunting and sports and working and making money and technology and going to the beach and shopping and going on vacation. And listen, the things that I just mentioned in and of themselves are not necessarily bad. But it is a problem when you're more passionate about those things than you are the things of God. And that's something you see very often nowadays. Christians that are far more excited and passionate about the things of this life, the pleasures of this life, than they are the things of God. And that's not how it ought to be. I ought to be more excited about spiritual things, more excited about living for God and doing good works than the things of this world. I need to be excited about reading my Bible. I ought to be more excited about reading my Bible than reading any other book in the world. That doesn't mean it's wrong to read other books, but I should never love another book more than I love the Bible. I should never be more excited to read the newspaper or read some novel or read some devotional or read some commentary or read some magazine than I am to read the Bible. The first book I should want to grab in the morning if I'm going to spend some time reading ought to be the Bible. I ought to be zealous toward the Scripture, the Word of God. I ought to be pumped up and excited about praying. I should be more excited to talk to God than to talk to anybody. Again, it doesn't mean that it's wrong for me to talk to other people. It doesn't mean that I'm wrong to enjoy talking to other people. But I ought to enjoy and be excited about talking to God more than I am excited about talking to anyone else, no matter who it is. Be zealous of good works. Be excited, passionate about Bible reading, about praying, about soul winning, telling people about Jesus. That ought to be a passion that I have as a believer. I ought to be passionate about going to church. I ought to be passionate about going to church. Amen. Something that ought to excite me. You know something I've noticed, and please don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to be ugly or critical, but in these last several weeks that we haven't been able to meet together, I've heard so many people talking about how they miss church, how they miss it, means so much to them. They just miss getting together. And I don't doubt what they're saying. But I have noticed, and again, I'm not being critical, I'm just simply stating a fact. I have noticed that several of these people, many of these people that have talked to me about missing church, are people that never have been faithful to church to start with. They've never really shown to me a passion for the house of God. They talk about how they miss it. I guess my question would be is, if you miss it so much, then why didn't you come more faithful before all this happened? Passionate about going to church. We ought to be passionate about giving. I'm talking about good works. These things that I'm mentioning are good works. God wants us to do good works, and he wants us to be passionate about these things. Giving, helping others, visiting people that are sick. These are all good works. This is important. We should be zealous. Let me ask you, please be honest. Please be honest. Be sincere. Be real. Be real. How excited are you? How passionate are you about good works? If you recognize and are willing to admit that you have a problem there, that you're not as excited as you need to be, then the best thing you can do is just own it. Just own it. Admit it to God. Tell him the truth. He knows the truth anyway. And ask him to increase your passion for good works. Ask him to light a fire. Or maybe what you need is to have your fire rekindled. Maybe there was a time when you were far more passionate than you are now, but that has dwindled with time. Ask the Lord to rekindle that fire, to get you pumped up, primed up, fired up once again about a life of good works. And I want to close with this. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to close with this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to notice a principle here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about this matter of being zealous. God wants us to be passionate about good works. And one thing I want you to notice about zeal, about passion, is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse number 2. In verse 2, here Paul says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago." Now here it is. "And your zeal hath provoked very many." Now, if you read the chapter, you get the context, you see that Paul is talking about these people being zealous concerning ministering to the saints, that is, giving and helping the saints. And that is certainly a good work. And these people were zealous. They had a zeal. They were pumped up about ministering to the saints, just excited about doing what they could to help the saints of God. And what he says about their zeal there in the end of verse 2 is that their zeal had provoked very many. Had provoked very many. The idea is that their zeal had inspired and encouraged a whole lot of other Christians to get involved in ministering to the saints. What I want you to see here is that zeal is contagious. It's contagious. If you will be zealous, and I've seen this in other things, and I know you have as well, you get people pumped up and excited about something, and it seems to spread like wildfire. They get excited, and they go to talking about it, and they get other people stirred up, and then those people start talking to other people, and before you know it, you got a whole mass of people that are pumped up and primed up and fired up about something. Zeal is contagious. So if you want other people to get excited about the things of God, if you want other people to get excited about good works, then guess what? You be excited about good works. I tell you this, you're going to have a hard time getting somebody else excited about doing good if you're not excited about doing good. And people can tell. People can tell what you're excited about and what you're not excited about. And if you're not excited about the things of God, you're not going to provoke others to be excited about the things of God. So if you want to be a pattern and you want to inspire others and encourage others to be involved and get excited about the things of God, it will begin with you. And then your zeal will provoke others. May the Lord help us to be zealous of good works. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you at this time and ask you, please, to help us take these truths to heart. Help us to be a people of good works. Help us to show through our lives how you want people to live. Help us to be a pattern. Help us to be prepared. Help us to get in your word and study and learn the things you expect of us. Help us, Lord, to maintain, to be persistent, to be consistent in our good works. And help us to be passionate, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you.